Morning, church. Welcome, our visitors. While we were worshipping, I got a pain in my right side and my rib. Has anyone got a pain down the rib going into their back? Right? Yes? God's going to heal you this morning. Awesome. While I was having a quiet time this morning, just a little while ago, I saw a heart and it was blocked. I asked Papa what it meant. Now, someone could have a blocked heart or blocked artery here this morning, I don't know. If that is you, if you do have, put your hand up. Oh, John, that's right. Thanks, mate. God's going to heal that this morning too. But I believe that God said people have got blocked hearts. The blood flows through the heart. And sometimes when the blood can't get through, we have a blockage. And I believe this morning that we have blockages in our lives. The blood can't flow through. And I believe God's going to get rid of those blockages today. I came from heaven. Not yet, I think. I came from heaven. And I wrote down, Ray, to visit your place. I came from heaven to see your face. One Sunday morning, an old cowboy entered a church just before services were about to begin. Even though he was clean, his clothes were old and worn. He wore a denim shirt, jeans, cowboy boots. He carried his well-used Bible in one hand and his cowboy hat in the other. As he entered the church, the people looked him up and down and totally ignored him. You see, the church was in a nice part of town. Congregation were dressed immaculately. The woman dripped with jewellery. As he sat down, they moved away from him. The preacher preached a long sermon of hellfire and brimstone. And as he was ending, he said, God needs your money to do his work. After the service, he made a beeline to the cowboy. And he said to him, would you do something for me if you come back to this church? The cowboy said, of course. He said, would you ask God what the appropriate attire is to wear at this church? So the following Sunday, the cowboy turns up and he's wearing exactly the same clothes, carrying the same Bible and the same hat. And he sits down and the people totally ignore him. They don't look in his eyes, they don't shake his hand, they don't say hello. And after the service, the preacher comes up to him and he says, I thought I told you to ask God what the appropriate attire was to wear in this church. I did, sir, said the cowboy. Well, if you did, what did God say? He told me he has no idea, he's never been here before. Church, the Bible repeatedly tells us that if God isn't here, it's not church. If God isn't here, we're not worshipping. And if God isn't here, we're totally wasting our time. God inhabits the praises of his people. And I'm so pleased that God's here. Every Sunday we come. But God's also in you and me. You see, the most important thing we can have in worship is God in our midst. And that was the principal message of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was placed in the middle of the Israelite encampment because God wanted his people to know that he was in their midst. So this morning, as you can see, we're going to celebrate communion. And the meaning of the word communion, it implies being with someone. We're communing with somebody, as you can see up there. A having in common, a partnership, a fellowship recognized and enjoyed, the share which one has in anything. Which one is it, Pam? First Corinthians 10 and 16 says, when we partake of the elements, we are in communion with Jesus, experiencing closeness with our Lord and Saviour. I love that. Yeah. So we have a diverse range of people here, people from different cultures, different backgrounds. We most probably, a lot of us were brought up in different religions. And we all would have celebrated communion most probably in a different way. You see, the Catholic Church believe in transubstantiation. This means that the emblems, the bread and the wine, once consecrated or blessed by the priest, actually become the body and blood of Jesus. So they are his actual body and blood. And this is very, very precious to the Catholics. They call it the Eucharist or the Mass. And the Eucharist actually means celebration or thanksgiving. That's one of the reasons, actually, why a number of the Catholic priests are alcoholics. Because they will not throw out the wine, and it is wine or alcohol. They actually finish it. And the Catholics can have communion every single day. So you can go to communion every single day. So they're very, once they're consecrated, the emblems are very sacred. So the bread is actually, they call that the host. Then we have another group of churches, which includes the Lutheran, some Lutheran churches, some Anglican churches, and some Methodist churches. And they believe in consubstantiation. And basically that's the idea that at the same time, as you see up there, it is both bread and wine and the body and blood of Christ. So Luther illustrated it by the analogy of the iron being put into the fire, whereby both the fire and the iron are united in the red-hot iron and each one continues unchanged. Then there are Pentecostal and evangelical churches. And like us, and we believe that communion is symbolic. It's to be primarily used to remind us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and of his resurrection. We celebrate communion, churches like ours celebrate communion when we decide. It's not a set thing. And then there are other churches, similar like ours, Pentecostal, evangelical churches, and they believe that communion is an ordinance or a law. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I was brought up in an open Brethren church. And we celebrated communion every single day. Communion was a big part, not every single day, sorry, every single week, every single Sunday. Communion was a big part of what we did. So on a Sunday morning, we went to the meeting. We called it the meeting. Went to church. And the communion table was actually in the middle of the hall. And we sat around the table. So we all worshipped around the table. Now, the Brethren don't believe, they believe in the priesthood of all believers. So you didn't have a minister. You didn't have a pastor. So we let the Holy Spirit move. And during the service, someone would get up and give a hymn, as it was in those days. Someone would get up and preach. Someone would get up and pray. And this would happen right throughout the service. And then at a certain time, when someone felt led, they would get up and give thanks for the bread. The bread was in a plate like it is here. It would be broken in front of the congregation. And then it would be passed, the plate would be passed from one person to the other. And we would take a bit. And while this was happening, we would all sit and just contemplate and rejoice in what Jesus had done for us. Then once everyone had partaken of the bread, someone would get up, they would pray for the cup, for the juice. In actual fact, in the Brethren Church that I was brought up in, they had port. It was normally port, or red wine. And it was poured into a wine glass, and we would all drink from that same glass because we were all one body. So we would all drink from that same wine glass, and that would be passed around one to the other. We would all drink, and then that was our communion service. So communion became a very precious time for me. I didn't know all the things about communion, and I've learnt a lot since I left the Brethren Church. But it was a very precious time celebrating the Lord's death and resurrection. It was a time when I spent sitting there contemplating Jesus and what he did for me. You see, when I take my wife out for dinner, I book a table for two. Yeah, we're having crabs. I book a table for two, and I enjoy her company and she enjoys my company. We enjoy each other's company. We commune together. We have fun together. And so some of these people are having communion. Sorry, David. On a table for two. You see, Jesus died for you and me personally. He shed his blood for you and me personally. He forgave you and me personally. He made us children of God and his restoring and healing power is available for you and me personally. It's a table for two, for you and him. It's all about Jesus. However, this isn't just a table for two. It is also a table for all. We can all come to the table and partake. A few Sundays ago, Pam had a vision. And in her vision, she saw a table for all. Plenty of food on that table. And people would come to that table and they would... Wrong table. And they would partake of that table. And as much as they took, it would be filled back up again. As much as they took, it would be filled back up again. Because Jesus paid for everything at that table. On the cross, he paid for everything that we go through. Whether it's sickness, whether it's financial lack, it doesn't matter what it is, it's been paid for. And the table is always full, friends, and you can always come and take from that table because it's a table for all. Nobody is turned away from that table. There's plenty for everybody. You see, it's a togetherness table. In Revelations, that's Fiji. In Revelations 5 and 9, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Everybody is welcome at the table. 1 Corinthians 10 and 17, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. The message version reads, because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. I love that. So it's not a Pentecostal table or a charismatic table. It's not a Protestant table or a Methodist table or a Catholic table or a Brethren table or a Baptist table. It's a table for everybody. It's an equal opportunity table. And it's a table that Jesus established when he said, as often as you do this, remember me. I heard a story of an older couple. They were having trouble remembering. And so they decided to go to memory classes. And a few months later, they were outside gardening, and a neighbour came up and said to the husband, he said, he started talking about the memory classes, and he asked him, who was the instructor that took you at your memory classes? And the old man thought for a while, and he said, what's the name of that sweet-smelling flower that's got thorns? Oh, a rose, said the neighbour. Rose, what's the name of the instructor of memory classes? When we come to the Lord's table, when we come to have communion with him, we come to remember him. It's all about him. You know, when my dad died, I was there holding his hand when he went. I don't remember him as he was at that time. I remember him as he was in the good times. Jesus hadn't died when he told us to remember him. He wanted us to remember him, not on the cross, but after the cross. He's risen, friends. He's risen. And he's taken everything on the cross for us. So let's remember him joyfully, happily. There's no sadness in remembering him. On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. And after the supper, after he had in the middle of the supper gotten up and clothed himself as a servant and washed the feet of his disciples, he returned to the table and he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Church, I don't know about you, but I want more out of everything that I do as far as God's concerned and as far as church is concerned, and that includes communion. I have a habit, most probably, of coming and taking communion and it being rote. It being, I just do it because it's something that we do. But I want to receive more from communion. As I take communion this morning, and as I hope and pray that you take communion this morning, let's take communion expecting to receive. Not let's just take it. Let's take it expecting to receive whatever you want and whatever you need. In church history, people would take the host, and the host, as I said to you, the Catholics, the priest would bless the emblem, the host, as a round wafer. And then after the priest blessed it, if they hadn't used it all, they would store it. And people would take that host and they would rub it over the bodies of the sick. And the sick would get well. Smith Wigglesworth took hold of this principle, and he took communion every single day. And my wife was telling me that Bill Johnson spoke on Wednesday, and he told everybody there that him and Benny take communion every single day. There's power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder working.
Keep going.
And
wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
You know, in Acts, we read how handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul healed the sick. Handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul healed the sick. So, as we take communion this morning, let's believe that it is enthused with Jesus' healing power. Yeah. And whatever we're carrying, let's believe for healing, for forgiveness. At 3 a.m., while John and Charles Wesley, George Whitfield, and I think there were 27 others, were taking communion, 3 a.m., the Holy Spirit fell, and they had one of the most powerful impartations of their lives. So this morning, I'm going to get Lloyd to come and bless these emblems. You see, Lloyd looks like an Israelite priest. and he has been brought up, I don't know if he's been brought up, but he has belonged to the Anglican Church. And so we're going to do it a little bit different. We're not just going to pray for them. I'm going to get Lloyd to bless the emblems. And as those elements are holy unto God, I want us to believe that God makes us a holy vessel unto him also. And as these elements are blessed, I want us to be a blessing to everybody else. So Lloyd's going to come, he's going to initially bless the bread, and then we're going to take the bread and we're going to have a table for all. We're going to get in groups of three or four and we're going to pray for each other's needs. Whatever you've got this morning, believe that it will go. Whatever sickness, whatever ill health, whatever it is, Jesus took it for you on the cross and it'll be gone. So we're going to pray for each other's needs. And church, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. You know, we've got to come expecting to receive. Because if we don't come expecting to receive, guess what we're going to get? And then after that, we're going to come and take the juice. And then we're going to sit down in our seats. And while we're sitting down in our seats, we're going to have a table for two. You're going to contemplate and thank Jesus for everything that he did for you before you drink your juice. So, Lloyd, if you could
I'm going to share with you from what's called in Anglican circles the Great Thanksgiving, another word for the Eucharist and communion. So I will be reading what the priest reads. Therefore, with people of every nation, tribe and language, with the whole church on earth and in heaven, joyfully, we give you thanks and say, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. All glory and honor to you, God of grace, for you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross to be the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. Therefore, Heavenly Father, in this sacrament of the suffering and death of your Son, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace and proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come in glory. Redeemer God, rich in mercy, infinite in goodness, We were far off until you brought us near, and our hands were empty until you filled them. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, through the power of your Holy Spirit, feed us with your heavenly food. Renew us in your service, unite us in Christ, and bring us to your everlasting kingdom. Oh, the depths and the riches of your wisdom, O God. How unsearchable are your judgments and untraceable your ways. From you and through you and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. So draw near and receive the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in remembrance that he died for us. Let us feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.